Hello, and welcome to this podcast episode from Bethel Church. Today's message is entitled, What's for Dinner? And will have us all thinking ahead to our next meal as Pastor Kyle instead directs our attention to learning lessons from Jesus. I hope you'll listen carefully to this teaching because we'll have some thought-provoking questions at the end.
I invite our children to come forward to the front for a little children's sermon. And Debbie, Miss Irma's going to need to come inside here in just a little bit. Well, good morning again. You like working the sound booth back there? Is that pretty cool? Awesome. We're glad you're doing that and you're learning how to do that. So that's something that sounds like you guys really like to do that. That's great. So, yeah, it's pretty easy, yeah. So, but it's very important because without that sound, it's hard for people to hear and know what's going on, so that's why it's so important. All right, I got a couple questions for you. Do you remember how many books there are in the Bible?
Six.
More than six, but you're close. There are six in the number.
60?
66 is actually the number of books in the Bible. Okay, remember, there's two parts of it. Old Testament, New Testament, exactly right. So great job on that. Now, today's scripture, we're going to be talking out of the New Testament in a book called Hebrews. It's actually a letter to the Hebrews that's in there. So, and we're going to be talking about food. Do you like to eat? Yeah, you so-so, you take it or leave it? Is that what you kind of... What is your favorite family-cooked food?
Lasagna.
Lasagna. Well, that's really good. What about you? Ziti? Yeah, okay, those are good. You know, there's different kinds of food that we eat. And all of these foods are important because if we only had one food all the time, our bodies wouldn't be very healthy. You know, we've got to have all kinds of different foods. We've got to have some cereals or breads. We've got to have some vegetables and fruits. We've got to have like lasagna, right, and ziti. Yeah, those are all important stuff to have too in there. So these are things that we have to have because we have to have all these different types of food so that our bodies are healthy and we grow. And so, you know, even after, as we're growing, some of our foods change a little bit over time as well. Do you drink milk? A little bit? Okay, yeah. What about fruits and vegetables? Do you eat those? Okay, so you drink milk, but no fruits and vegetables, but you eat fruits and vegetables. Okay. Okay, you eat fruits but not vegetables. Well, fruits are kind of sweeter. They kind of taste better sometimes, right? So, yeah, okay, I can see that. Do you eat fish or chicken or meat, beef? Yeah, okay, yeah, that's good. Lasagna's got that in it too. See, all of these help us grow. We have to have all these different types of foods in order for us to grow well. So, and when we go to church on Sundays and when we read the Bible, which I know you guys were talking about before, or if we do a study class about God, then our spirit inside us, because we're more than just a physical body. We are a body with a spirit, and that helps our spirit to grow as well when we read the Bible and we go to church and we get into some studies like that. So that's why those are also important as well. So let me ask you a question. Do you have any questions now about God or the Bible? Not right now? What about you?
Not at this moment.
Well, save them if you come up with some. And we'll talk about them, you know, next week or something, okay? So, will you pray with me? All right. Dear God, thank you for helping us grow physically and spiritually so that we can be the best version of ourselves. Amen. All right. Thank you. Let you get back to running the sound booth. What's for dinner? You know, how many times have you heard this question or asked it yourself, right? It's like, you know, you hear it from your children, you hear it from people when they come over, what's for dinner? And, you know, when we look at these things, these are important. You know, our bodies need nourishment multiple times each day. You know, when we were in the womb, we were fed directly by an umbilical cord. You know, all of the nourishment that our little body needed at that time was provided by that little life connection that we had with our mothers. And then when we were born, you know, we got, you know, we grew and got all the nourishment we really needed from milk. But there comes a time as we're growing and we're getting bigger that, you know, that milk is not sufficient to provide us the nourishment that we actually needed. And in fact, if we were to stay on a diet of only milk, nothing else, our bodies would suffer. Our growth would be stunted. We would have other ailments in there. Because see, milk does not provide like vitamins A or C, doesn't provide any fiber, doesn't provide any minerals. I did some research on this, and here are some of the ailments we could experience within just 6 months. Anemia, scurvy, diarrhea, overdoses of calcium. And now you don't think of overdoses of calcium, right? You think overdoses are like with drugs. But an overdose of calcium would cause you to get, have you have kidney stones or gallstones, bone spurs, you know, the heart disease, and a diet of solely of milk within 6 months could lead to premature death. You know, all those symptoms I just described there kind of sounds like what you see on those medicine commercials, right? You see it on TV every day. Yeah, it'll fix that little rash on your skin, but, you know, you'll get, you know, you'll have, you know, you may have liver disease, kidney failure, and blood clots. Like, I'll take the rash on my skin, thank you. Yeah, when you see some of these things. But, you know, it's essential for, you know, our physical growth that we take in solid food. Our body needs proteins and other foods to grow in a healthy manner. We need solid food to mature. And solid food is typically introduced in about 6 months to a year, right? You know, as a child's body doubles in size, he or she needs more sustenance than what milk alone can provide. Parents gradually introduce soft foods, you know, like oatmeal and rice. And then they start pureed fruits and vegetables, you know, like apples and peas and sweet potatoes. And as the child grows, the appetite is going to expand and more foods are going to be introduced. Now, today's scripture passage comes from the book of Hebrews and talks about consuming milk and solid foods. We're not entirely certain who wrote this letter. You know, some argue that it was Paul. However, there are some aspects of the writing style in this letter that are different from Paul's other writings. So it raises a question. Some believe this letter may have been written by Apollos. You know, Apollos was very important in Corinth. Or maybe even a woman like Priscilla or someone else. You know, it wasn't very common for women to be very authoritative in the first century. So that may be why the letter to the Hebrews was anonymous. We don't know. But we do know that this letter really helps us better understand the mysteries of Christianity. So we're going to look at chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. And I'm going to read from the New American Standard Version, New American Standard Bible. And it says here that, concerning Jesus, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. So the author of this letter is conveying a message to these Hebrews, these Jewish adherents, trying to explain some things how Christianity has changed now from Judaism. It has evolved because of the revelation we got from Jesus. So they're using a metaphor here, and they're trying to say to the reader that you have known this material, but and you should be old enough spiritually that you'd be able to teach it yourself. But instead, you should be eating solid food, but instead, you're kind of you haven't been weaned from the milk. And so the author is chastising them for not having learned what they were taught and grown spiritually. They have not matured in that sense. Milk is for the young and the immature. Solid food is for those who have grown out of infancy and they're toddlers or they're adolescents or they're adults. So the author speaks of the life cycle of a believer in the same manner as the physical life cycle of any person. Something that they can relate to in this sense. They must move away from milk and move towards solid foods. When we first become a baby Christian, that's what I call it, when you first became a Christian, we were provided milk in the form of sermons from a pastor. You know, these messages provided some of the basic tenets, the five core principles of Christianity. And it's five, so it's easy to remember on your hand. Okay, there's God. Okay, then there's the man, Jesus, the cross, or justification, how we were saved. And the final is the final resurrection of all of our bodies at the end of the age. So God, man, Jesus, justification, and our final resurrection of the dead. As babies, you know, we got our basic nourishment from this milk. We learned these basic things. But like babies, we need to grow. We need to dig into Scripture and learn more than what we learn from a sermon. We need to eat and digest the Word of God. You know, as a child's teeth grow in, more foods are introduced, including breads and meats. You know, protein is an essential part of a healthy diet. According to biologyinsights.com, protein is fundamental to amino acids, the building blocks of life that grow and maintain muscle, bones, skin, and hair. Proteins also function as hormones, which are the chemical messengers that are inside your body that regulate various body processes, tell us to grow or to eat or digest. A lot of different things go on from hormones. Without protein, your muscles will atrophy. In other words, your body needs protein so much that it will steal it from your muscle in order to keep the body functioning. And so your muscles will get smaller and smaller over time as a result of a lack of protein. It also impairs the immune system and affects the production of hemoglobin or blood and causes stunted growth and delayed development. Protein is critical. A spiritual diet without protein also stunts our growth as a Christian. We need to eat some solid food. We need something more than a diet of milk. Something more than a Sunday morning sermon. In the early church, the believers were always getting together in their home churches, or their homes, and making it a home church. They're devoting themselves to what the apostles were teaching them and to fellowship with each other. They met, they discussed the deep things of God, learning and teaching others at the same time. You know, it's like a group of college students. There's a big exam coming up, and so they would get together in study groups. Because, you know, they would take on these complex concepts and when they came together, they would share insights. One person would get this part of it and would share it with the others, and vice versa, somebody else would get another part. And it really encouraged them. It highlights the power of small group study. People benefit from the ideas and the learning from others. So it's not just about individual effort, but about collaboration and moving forward with that. It helps to foster a deeper understanding that can transform the knowledge that they're gaining there into some wisdom. The same is true for us. When we're ready to dig into the meatier matters of the Bible, it helps to have some other people with you to study it. Like, I don't know what that means, but another person has some insights. Maybe they had learned about it somewhere else. It's tremendously helpful to have others to share ideas and to learn from them. You know, in addition, you know, fellowship with other believers is also part of God's plan. In Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 42, Luke wrote, "So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." Now there's an added benefit to coming together as a fellowship. And Matthew talks about it when he quotes Jesus in his gospel in chapter 18. "Where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." Well, there's the four food groups which are up there on the slide there. You get milk, and you may have heard these when you were growing up, the important four. Now they've got all kinds of other food groups and things like that, but the four basic ones were meat and dairy and grains and fruit and vegetables. You know, we need milk for calcium to help with our bones. You know, that meat provides protein, which is essential for growth and the repair of body tissues. Fruits and vegetables, you know, they provide us with important vitamins, minerals, and fiber. And bread and cereals provide us with energy and fiber. All together, they make us healthy. We need all of them. When one of these lacks, illness or disease can creep in. Well, like the four food groups, there's also the four spiritual food groups. Milk, for example, are sermons and the basic tenets of Christianity. Breads and cereals are the daily studying of the Word of God, and fruits and vegetables are about kingdom ministries. And, of course, meat, small group studies. Let's talk about these a little bit more. You know, like physical food, spiritual food is also critical to our health spiritually. You know, we need milk from sermons to keep us structurally strong. Just like milk provides calcium to make our bones strong. If our bones weren't strong, we'd be blobs. Bones give us shape, give us structure. And the same thing with, you know, the sermons that help give us a structure that we can work within. You know, so, and the bones provide a protection. You know, like you think about your rib cage, how much protection provides for those vital organs in there. And that's what calcium, that's what the sermons do, provide that protection. Here's the basic tenets, the five things that we can remember about Christianity. And then there's breads. You know, bread is something it gives us needed energy during the day. You know, the cereals and the fiber that goes with that. We need to read our Bibles each day. We need to read it and digest it. Let it become part of us. With this energy, then we're able to endure all the different trials and tribulations that come throughout the day. But it starts with ingesting the Word of God. Fruits and vegetables are the fruits of the Spirit. And you see we've got the banners up here on the sides here, the fruits of the Spirit, like love. It's a selfless, unconditional commitment to care for others. It provides us practice in reflecting the love that God gives to us, reflecting it out into others, into the community. The more polished our mirror is, the more we're able to reflect God's love to others. Joy is the fruit that is a deep sense of contentment and gladness that comes through our relationship with God. It's evident in our demeanor and our expressions and our interactions with others. You just have met people that, you know, that person is just very joyful. You can see that. Peace is our inner calm. It's wholeness, freedom from fear and worry, no matter what the circumstances. Patience is similar to peace, but enables us to endure difficult situations without becoming angry or frustrated. Sometimes that's difficult. When things don't go our way or things seem to be acting as roadblock, patience helps us to navigate these hindrances. Makes it much easier. Kindness is evident when we act with compassion and go out of our way to help others, like Miss Joan we mentioned earlier. Goodness is acting with moral excellence and virtue. It's a compassionate and joyful disposition toward others, but it is not. It's not a moral superiority. It's not like that. Not like you're looking down on somebody. It's just genuine kindness. and the kind Jesus showed toward those he met. Faithfulness is loyalty and reliability in relationships and commitments. Gentleness, balanced and humble disposition, showing restraint and control over one's emotions. And of course, self-control. That discipline to manage our impulses and desires. We all receive impulses and desires we ought not act on. Self-control is that fruit that helps us make responsible choices. Today's passage, and there's another one in 1 Corinthians, speak about solid food or protein. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul speaks about the importance of that particular spiritual food group. And he says in verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly." They were still too focused on the world and earthly things. So his critique here is aimed at the members of the church who are not going beyond the food for baby Christians. He says, "I left this with you. I've taught this to you. You should be growing. You should be going on to greater things." And they were not. They were still stuck on milk. And he was telling them, in order to grow spiritually, they have to be bringing in the other food groups, particularly meat, solid foods. Meat, in this context, is referring to digging in deeper into the things of God. Koinonia is a phrase, it's a Greek term, that talks about fellowship gathering. And this was something that each member of the church needed, and is still needed today. John Wesley founded Methodism on small group studies, on classes and bands. He recognized how important it was. And when he did that, there was Methodist church in every single county in the United States. There were more Methodists in the U.S. in the 18th century than all the other churches combined. Methodism was a movement. Meat is a critical part of a spiritual diet. But you know, in addition to eating, we also need water. We need at least 6 to 8 glasses of water today, each day. In Scripture, the Holy Spirit is often portrayed as water or living water. In chapter 4, verses 10 to 14, John wrote about asking a Samaritan woman for a drink of water from a well. When she hesitated, he said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it of himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." So Jesus is referring to God's gift of the Holy Spirit as the living water. Just like with eating from our 4 spiritual food groups, we also must drink water to keep us hydrated and healthy. And Christians spiritually need to drink in the Holy Spirit every day by speaking with Him and allowing Him to lead us and inspire us throughout our day. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, our spirit is like a sponge and can just soak up all that water that the Holy Spirit can provide to us. And so Jesus said that those who drink from this water will never thirst again. One full drink will satisfy our spirit. And in us will come a well of water springing up to eternal life. So, what's for dinner? Well, I hope that we can kind of drink in today's sermon so we get the spiritual milk that we need to strengthen our convictions. But we mustn't stop there. We need to continue on to solid food. We need to consume spiritual daily bread. We need to read the scriptures on a daily basis. Start with just 10 minutes a day, if you're not already doing that. And then you gradually build it up to greater lengths of time. But start with 10 minutes. That's about a chapter in a book. Coming up in September, and I'll talk about this a couple more times before then, but I want us to participate in the gospel challenge. I want us to take, starting at Matthew on September 1st, to read one chapter of Matthew each day. And when we finish Matthew, we go to Mark. And when we finish with Mark, we go to Luke. And when we finish with Luke, we go to John. If we read just at least one chapter a day, starting on September 1st, that'll bring us all the way up to just about Lent. I'm sorry, Advent. Advent will be right before the Christmas. So just starting on September 1st, the gospel challenge is to read one chapter a day. And my sermons will actually be based on something during that week of those gospels is what we'll focus on for a sermon that particular Sunday. So if you've already read all seven of your chapters for that week, you'll have an idea of what it might be about, you know, going into it. But that's the gospel challenge. I think it would be great for us to go through all the gospels, to go through that just one chapter a day. You look at the chapters, and not very long. Luke gets a little bit verbose, okay? Sometimes his are 50 verses, but that's still, I think you can do that in about 10 minutes. So that's something let's look at coming forward. But you know that, and stick to it. You know, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8 when he was being tempted about this. He said that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And I also want us to partake of the fruits of the Spirit that we have up there. Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As we focus on these fruits, it will balance our diet and make us spiritually healthy. And most importantly, we need protein. We need meat. We need to engage in studies with other believers, small group studies, classes that help us grow as a Christian. You know, when we fellowship together, koinonia, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we mature. We can help share each other's and help each other's burdens going through this. We can mature and grow into adulthood as a believer in Christ. And as the writer of today's scripture shows, we're not meant to stay on a diet of just milk our whole spiritual life. We need a child moves from milk to solid foods, and we must also, if we're to grow as God has intended us to grow. I'd like us to start up some small groups, studies here at Bethel. We need to consume some spiritual food, some solid foods. And for starters, maybe a small class together on Sunday mornings. School is starting back right here this month, maybe even Monday in some places. So September is a good time to start. Maybe we can get a 10 to 12 week study that we could do. That'll take us down into right around December. We've got a fellowship hall. We've got a youth building. We've got some other classrooms we could use. Perfect locations to hold a study. And we could do it on the mornings before our service begins here. Please pray about being a part of this. God wants us to grow and consume more than the milk we get from a sermon. You know, see, when he wants to use us in mighty ways. But in order to use us, he needs us to be growing. There's some mighty things starting to happen here at Bethel Church. We're starting to see events taking place. We're having, you know, Sunday luncheons, you know, once a month. We're starting to get a lot more things going on here. God needs us to keep growing. He needs us to be eating solid spiritual food so that we can carry out the work he has planned for us. And this is not something new to Bethel, right? I know that you guys used to do small group studies all the time. They're an important part. They're recognized. COVID kind of wrecked everything. But we can get things back again and do this. So, and some of you may have found that your spiritual gift was knowledge or teaching. God is calling you to action here. He's asking you to help feed His flock the solid food that they desperately need to grow spiritually. God needs you to be the one and make a difference. Take on this critical role and make a difference for the kingdom. And for the rest of us, let's come together and learn about the great things of God so we can get about the business our great God has in store for us. Now, if you've not yet made the decision to accept the pardon that Jesus offers for the forgiveness of all the wrong things done in your life, I want to encourage you to do so today. We don't know when we'll meet Him. My birth certificate does not have an expiration date. I bet yours doesn't either. We don't know when it's no longer going to work for us. But the only chance we have to accept the gift of grace is while we're still alive. You can accept the forgiveness only He can provide by praying with me today. He wants to provide you with all the spiritual food and water you'll ever need. But it's a decision that will give your life a purpose and meaning. Let's pray. Lord God, we have done things we're not proud of. We are sorry and we want to change. Help us. Help us follow the example Jesus set for us and forgive us our sins. Provide us with the spiritual food we need to grow closer to You. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Now, if you made that decision today the first time, please see me after the service. I'd love to work with you and help you with along that path.
Okay, so what's wrong with a diet that consists of only one food? I love pizza, don't you? Why couldn't we just subsist on a continuous diet of pepperoni pizza? Well, do you think it's maybe because we need some more fruits and vegetables to go along with it? After all, too much of one thing isn't good for us. We need a variety, and that's what Jesus taught His followers and us. Now, go out and order that pizza that you're craving and tune in again for the next teaching.